Welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast, where I, Rebecca, your host, share thought-provoking episodes with you to help you take your life from where it is now to where you want it to be. I have a huge desire and passion to help people just like you get out of their own way and start living the life that they deserve. I'm here to help you feel empowered, educated, and inspired to get into massive action and create change in your life today. Join me weekly as I share insights into the online business world, social media, and many other motivational topics, and also interview some of the world's most incredible humans to help you become the best version of yourself.
I kept going, and I think you have to, right? Like, what else can you do? Like, you can't, you know, it was either that or give up and die or just... So, but it was so hard, like apart from all the physical things and figuring out how to sit again and be able to use my arms and trying to find ways to function with my new body and to get off the ventilator, to be able to eat again, to all those things, it took a long time. And then there was all this destruction around me, like.
And that was Dinesh. And Dinesh deserves a very big intro because he has achieved quite a lot and he's a really special person, and I know you're going to love this episode as much as I loved recording it. And so let's dive into a little bit more about him before we get into the interview. Dinesh was the first quadriplegic medical intern in Queensland and the second person to graduate medical school with quadriplegia in Australia. Dinesh is a doctor, a lawyer, disability advocate, and a researcher. Halfway through medical school, he was involved in a motor vehicle accident that caused a cervical spinal cord injury, and Dinesh has completed an advanced clerkship in radiology and at the Harvard University. As a result of his injury and experiences, Dinesh has been an advocate for inclusivity. He is a founding member of Doctors with Disabilities Australia. Dinesh works in the emergency department at the Gold Coast University Hospital. He's a senior lecturer at Griffith University and adjunct research fellow at the Menzies Health Institute of Queensland. Dinesh is a researcher in spinal cord injury. He's a doctor for the Gold Coast Titans physical disability rugby team. Dinesh is a senior advisor for the Disability Royal Commission. He's an ambassador to the Human Rights Commission's Includability Program, and he was a 2021 International Day of People with Disability ambassador. Dinesh was the Gold Coast Hospital and Health Services Junior Doctor of the Year in 2018. He was also awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia in 2019. He was the third Australian to be awarded a Henry Viscardi Achievement Award, and he was the 2021 Griffith University Young Alums of the Year. And last year, Dinesh was the Queensland Australian of the Year for 2021. As you can see, this man is an incredible human. I know you're going to love this episode, so let's dive in.
Today we have the amazing Dinesh Palapana. I'm so excited to have this guest on the show. You are going to be absolutely blown away by his story and the wisdom that he has to share with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Beck, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you.
I'm really excited. So the first question I want to ask, and I think, you know, people like ourselves, we tend to start our day in a really specific way, in a way that's very, I guess, conscious, I would say. So how do you spend the first hour of your day?
Well, the first hour of my day, I open my eyes and the first thing I do is to think about a few things that I'm grateful for. Is I think gratitude is a really important part of life, right? Like, I grew up in a country where people live some pretty hard lives, and I lived through a war and I lived through seeing people go through poverty and struggles and all sorts of hardships. So when I think back to that, especially, I think about how grateful I am to have all the things that I do, like living in Gold Coast, which is a beautiful city. I get to live in, well, a house to start with, which is great. I've got an amazing mom. I've got a great job that I love. So I find all these things that I'm grateful for, and it doesn't have to be big things either. So gratitude is the first part of my day. So I spend a couple of minutes doing that. And then I wake up. You know, something really interesting was after I had the car accident and after I had the spinal cord injury, I was working towards coming back to medical school and becoming a doctor. And I got this friend who's a friend of mine for about 20 years now. He's an amazing guy, and we've been through so much. But one of the best things that he ever did for me was when I was in this process of coming back to medical school, he's like, all right, I just want you to listen to these things every morning. And he used to send me all these YouTube videos of just positive things that used to get me fired up. So for about the first half an hour while I go about life, I just have these things on, even if it's in the background, just have some good stuff that would get me fired up, that would make me think about some positive things. And even if I take away one thing from that day, it's a powerful thing for me. That's pretty much how I spend the first hour of my day while I get ready and do all the other stuff. But I think a routine is really important. And then once I get settled into that, I spend a bit of time that's dedicated to a few little admin things, like, you know, that's the time slot to reply to emails, and that's the time slot to eat breakfast and do all these other things. So that is the first hour of my day most of the time.
I think gratitude is so important, but also one of the things that we seem to so easily forget about doing. And I think this has been a beautiful reminder for myself, because it's so easy to get caught up in what's missing, what we're lacking, what's just happened, what's gone wrong, instead of focusing on what's actually going right. Because there's so much, like you said, we live in the most beautiful place, the Gold Coast. It's mostly always sunny. So it is usually that high vibrational space. And we forget so easily sometimes that we do have so many beautiful things to be grateful for. So I love that. That's really great. So I would love, I guess, the best place for us to start is really at the start, and to share your story before we go into all the wisdom that has come off the back of that. You know, stories are so powerful in personal lives, in business, in everything that we do. And I know for me, when I heard your story, I just was like, I have to have you on the show and share you with my audience, because I know they too will appreciate and really love and feel inspired by what, you know, you've experienced, and I guess what you've also learned from that experience as well. So it will set the scene for our conversation. So let's dive into the story and what's happened for you over the last however little journey you've been on.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the biggest milestones of my life was last year when I had the huge privilege of becoming the Queensland Australian of the Year for 2021. But one of the things that it really drove home for me was the word Australian, because I wasn't born an Australian. I was born elsewhere. And I was born in a country that has a fraction of the wealth that we enjoy in this country, and a fraction of the resources that we enjoy in this country. So it's a very different place. And it was also going through a war at the time. And people died, people struggled, people fought. And I watched people die, and I saw people going through all sorts of stuff, being shot, being set on fire. And that was just me as a kid. So that's where I grew up. And eventually we moved to Australia. We landed here on my 10th birthday. And it has been an amazing place. You know, coming from a country like that to a country like this, it's worlds apart. And I think I love living here, and I love the people, and I love the country, and I love what we stand for. And I'm grateful to be a part of all this. So moved here on my 10th birthday. We landed in this country, and we moved around a lot, but one of the places that I spent most time in when I was growing up was Byron Bay. So I went to high school there for a little bit. I did a little bit of primary school there. Spent a bunch of time there, and then we ended up moving to Brisbane, where I finished school. And you know, it's funny, where I finished school, it's an interesting place, because I was hanging out with a friend of mine recently who I went to school with, and we were talking about some of these prestigious schools where you have prime ministers and business people and sports people graduate. But he was telling me that some of our classmates, one is in jail for murder, and another one is in jail for manslaughter, and another one is in jail for grievous bodily harm, and other people are in jail for various other things. So we actually finished school in a pretty, you know, pretty tough place. But when I finished school, I didn't really have, you know, well, I guess one of the things that I think about often is our purpose and our passion and our reason and our why. So I didn't really have that at the time. And I was thinking about what to do, and I ended up studying law. So these days I really appreciate the law, because it's something that allows us to shape our society and change the way we live and create a better future. I mean, all these things are built upon the law, right? It's the fabric of what we live in. But those days I didn't really understand it. I just thought it'd be a good job. And so I signed up for law school, and I went through, and then I had depression. So depression was, it's one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And we have conversations about it all the time today, right? But I don't think, unless we've been through it, I don't know if we really understand what it means for someone. Because it's a place where you're just trapped in your own head. It's a place where everything's great. It's a place where you're not connected to the world. It's a place that's so dark and gray. And it's a place that's very hard to escape, I think. So, you know, I always like to draw this parallel, because now I have a spinal cord injury, which has affected my fingers and my arms and everything below the body. And when I first woke up in the intensive care unit with it, I felt like a prisoner of my body. And one of the most powerful realizations that I've had over the last few years is that it was far worse for me being a prisoner of my mind with depression than having a spinal cord injury. Because, you know, right now I'm talking to you, we're talking about how good life is, we're talking about all these beautiful things. But those days I couldn't see that, and I didn't see the world the way I do now. So I went through depression, but I think depression and some of the challenges that we have in our lives are a good thing, and we have to see this as a good thing. I think, the same friend actually who used to send me the YouTube videos, the other week he sent me this philosophy, which I can't really remember what the wording of it was, but it was Friedrich Nietzsche, and it was about being grateful for the experiences that you've had and being grateful for the things that you have gone through, no matter how hard it was. And I think depression was one of those things for me, because it allowed me to see the world differently. It allowed me to understand myself, and it allowed me to change my sails to sail in the right direction. And I think when we go through hardship, and when we go through things like depression, and when we go through things like that, I think it's a signpost for us to think about life a bit differently. Because, you know, how many times do you see the person stuck in an unhappy relationship, or stuck in an unhappy job, or stuck in an unhappy whatever? So I think it was time for me to change sales, and that's how I saw. So ended up changing direction. I graduated from medical school, found my why. So I graduated from law school and I found my why, which was in people. So I ended up in med school, which I loved. So I love being a doctor. I love people, and I love what I get to do. So I found my reason through the depression, and suddenly I was energized. So I got into medical school and life was amazing. And then in 2010, I had a car accident and sustained a spinal cord injury and lost the use of everything below the chest and my fingers. Probably another hardest thing I've ever had to go through. And I spent 4 years, 1 year of that, nearly 1 year of that was in hospital. And then the other couple of years was just putting life back together and came back to med school, finished. Now it's my sixth year as a doctor, and here we are talking to you.
It's amazing. It's so amazing. And so I personally have also been through depression and can totally relate to what you're saying. It's like, it almost feels like checking out is so much easier than actually living. And unless you've actually been in that space, people don't understand, people don't really can't comprehend the pain and the darkness. But like you said, on the other side of that is this beautiful chance to, for me personally, when I went through the depression, is it was a chance for me to pivot and really redirect my life, because what I was actually going through was kind of pulling me out of the space and the industry that I'd been in at that time. And that's where the depression sort of started from and then led me on this other beautiful journey. And it kind of sounds similar to what you're saying. It kind of restarted you or made you look in a new direction. And I feel like that depressive state almost resets us, even though it's the hardest thing that anyone could potentially go through, because like you said, it's just so dark and so gray, and it's just like you don't, and no one around you really understands. Like they, you know, there's that toxic positivity around like, just be okay. Like just find the gratitude, just find the positive in the day. And you're like, it just doesn't work like that. It's all good and well. What were some of the tools, I guess, that helped you with depression? Like, do you feel like there were things that you did? I know you said your friend was sending you these positive YouTube stuff, but I mean, was that enough to help you or?
Yeah, I mean, this was pre that actually. So those days when I was going through the depression, I was way more alone. And I think for us to be there for someone going through that process, it's actually a pretty challenging thing, right? Because sometimes I think we feel like we can't get through to someone, and I think it's hard for someone to hear that as well. And I know that having been there and having people close to me go through that, so it becomes an experience where you just have to keep turning up. I think you just have to keep turning up. One of my other friends told me this recently, and he said, you know, when someone's going through depression, when someone's going through a hard time like that, you just have to keep turning up no matter how frustrating it is. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, like with hard times, it's just having people around you that love you, that care about you enough to keep coming and keep being there despite how hard it is. And so that was really important, just having the right people around me. And one of those people has always been my mom. You know, mums are very special creatures.
Oh, yes.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I think that kind of love is very hard to find in this world.
Yeah, it's truly unconditional. And I can imagine your mom's been on the end of many, you know, stories and sadness and words and experiences. And, you know, I know for sure I remember times calling my mom just in tears, like, you know, it must be so hard for our mums to hold that space and really, you know, nurture us and take us along, you know, when we're suffering so much, and for them to hear that as a mother. But they never give up. They never ever leave your side. They never say the wrong thing. They never, it's the most amazing thing, you know, to have that support and that love.
But I think that is what we should all aspire to as humans, right? Because I think that mother's love is actually like one of the most purest things on this planet. And if we can do that for each other, be there with that strength and compassion and love and understanding that's unconditional.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Yes. And so I don't know if you want to go into sharing how you had your accident or how you ended up with the injury, and then the support potentially that your mum shared with, you know, in that journey.
Yeah, so I had a car accident. It was the 31st of January 2010. And I think one of the things I often think about when reflecting on the accident is how important it is to seize the day that we have, carpe diem. It is so, so important because today, right, I see, I mean, I worked yesterday in our emergency department. I worked on the weekend, and every shift I see someone or multiple someones who just are going about their normal life and something unbelievable happens to them. They might have a stroke, they might have a cardiac arrest, they might be involved in a near fatal accident or a fatal accident or something. And what that teaches me is that this moment matters so much, and life is not guaranteed for anyone, for anyone. So I was a 25-year-old guy who was going about his normal life. And who thinks at that age that they would experience a spinal cord injury? Who thinks that they will? Their life as they know it will change within a matter of seconds to be completely different from what they imagined. So the accident taught me that, you know, seizing the day was really important, because a few weeks before the accident, one of my best friends now, he was talking to me about going on a trip to Japan. And I thought about that a lot at the time, because I thought, yeah, I'm still a student and I, you know, don't have much money to do this stuff. But again, my mom said, you know, if you really want to go, here's a credit card and you can go on this trip with your friends. She's a good lady. But I took the chance and I went on this trip with my friend. And the thing I think about the most is that was the last time I stood up on a mountain and felt snowflakes fall on my face. Mm-hmm. And if I knew that, if someone told me, you better take this trip because in 3 weeks you will go through something where you may not experience this again for a long time. But I think we have to live life in that way, right? And I'm not saying like be careless or be, you know, be irresponsible with the way we live. But I think if we think about life in that perspective, it allows us to really consider what's important to us. So I went on that trip with him, and then I came back. A couple of weeks went by, and I hugged my mom, which was the last thing I did standing up, and got in the car, and then I went and I had an accident. My car aquaplaned on a wet highway, and I had a rollover. So it lost control, and it rolled and rolled and rolled. And, you know, one of the other things that I took away from that moment, it's an interesting thing actually talking to you about it now, because I realize that it's probably like a few minutes that has defined how I live my life. But when the car was flipping through the air for a bit, nose to tail, so it was like a really violent, forceful accident. And another thing that I talk about often that I took away from that is when I was flipping through the air, I realized that there was nothing more that I could do in this moment. And right now we're going through a pandemic and we're going through all these things that is out of our control, right? And that was such a moment where the rest of the world outside of me was not within my control anymore. And that causes a huge amount of fear and anxiety and struggle. But I think those are the moments that we have to think about differently. So when the car was flipping through the air, I thought, I'm going to think about this differently, because the only thing that I can control right now is the way I think about this moment. And so I decided to have fun. So when the car was rolling around, I just thought of it like a roller coaster. And I was just enjoying myself for the last few moments of that accident. So when I actually drive past that place, I don't feel anything other than, nothing really. I just feel, I think it's really cool. So.
Oh my God.
And then when the car landed, that's when I started to actually freak out a bit because I realized that I was paralyzed now and I couldn't move. And that's how the accident happened.
Wow. How's your mindset in that moment though? Like, what is that something that just came over you? You just were like, okay, we're going to turn this into a roller coaster experience.
Hardship is one of the coolest things because it really allows us to test ourselves and it really allows us to grow a bit. So I think that moment was a moment where I was faced with something pretty damn scary, but I took something away from it and I tried to approach it a bit differently. I think hardship is it's really important because we go through hardship, but it's really what allows us to be molded into something a bit better, to be broken and to become stronger and to be tested and to win. Because we don't get to do that in our day-to-day lives, but when we face hardship, that's when we can really truly show it. Like if you're an athlete or whoever, you need to push your limits to get that extra thing. So, yeah, that's how I feel about that moment. And I think I took something away from it and I learned how to approach certain situations a bit differently.
Yeah, I think as humans, generally, you know, speaking, people don't push themselves hard enough. They live in this cushiony comfort space, which they're not generally that happy in either, but they don't do anything to push outside that zone. So then they're almost living this mundane existence, you know, every day. And it's almost like you were saying before, like, they're not truly living. Like you said, you know, don't be reckless or don't, you know, do those sorts of things, but do things that make you feel like you're truly living or like experiencing life. Because we do just go through each day and almost in this mundane thing and, oh, we'll do that when I can afford it. I can do that when this happens or do that, you know, and we don't actually truly live and we're just passing time, really. And there's, I bet, you know, most people listening right now would say there's a whole list of things they haven't done yet that they want to do. And I think we, you know, we need to push to achieve those things or experience those things so that we do grow, but we also get to live.
Yeah. And I guess you better think about like what, you know, what is the difference between living and being dead? You know, sometimes if we truly don't live and if we're just going through the motions, it's pretty close to being dead in the soul, I think. Mm. But I think we also have the privilege to be able to do that in a country like this and in lives like the ones we have. Because in many parts of the world, there are people that are enslaved by their situation. And they are forced to either work, they're forced to go through all this stuff, they're forced to labor in ways outside their control. So when we live in a place that gives us opportunity to pursue happiness and to pursue freedom and to pursue the life that we want, I think we would appreciate that because there are so many people on this planet that don't have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I think we're almost too blessed to even realize sometimes, you know. I think without the hardship, you don't realize how lucky you actually are. You know, we are blessed, especially in Australia, even with the challenging times that we're facing, you know, we're still blessed. It's not really that challenging in comparison, right?
Yeah, and I... even some of our comforts, I think, are provided by people who struggle. A friend of mine, she is a huge advocate and a modern slavery activist. So during a conversation a little while ago, she got me to think about our supply chains, because many of the things that are made for us come from people that are paid nothing or next to nothing, that slave away, that have no choice to do that, sometimes these are children, to create the products that we enjoy. So even if we think about them, I think we have to honor them by trying to live the best lives that we can in the situation that we've been given. It's very easily. There are 25 million people in Australia now, right? But there are 7 billion people on this planet. So it would have been very easy for us to be, statistically, to be any one of those people. So we got to make the most of what we have, I think.
For sure. Now, I hate to assume the journey after the accident, you know, and how it was and how hard it was, but I can imagine there were times where you were like, this sucks, I'm over this, I want to quit, I want to throw the towel in, so to speak. Would I be right in saying so? And what, you know, what got you through, and what was the journey like after the accident, after the roller coaster experience?
Yeah. There were times, like particularly when I woke up in the intensive care unit, right? I woke up and I was on a ventilator. I had all these tubes going inside me. I couldn't lift my arms. I couldn't breathe on my own. I couldn't talk. I couldn't eat. I couldn't feel my body. And I was stuck in a room. I didn't know whether it was day or night. And I had no control over what was happening to me. No control. And even if I wanted to, I couldn't stand up and walk away from that situation. Mm. It was like being in a prison. But and that was really, really distressing, and it was really difficult. I don't think there was a point where I thought, you know, I'm going to give up now. But I think there were points where I knew it was hard, and I knew it was the hardest thing I've ever had, and it was distressing, and it was difficult, and it was saddening, and it was challenging, and it was all those things. And I was broken, but I don't think there was a point, and I'm trying really hard to think now, I don't think there was a point where I thought I'm going to give up. Like, I always had hope. And I was trying to find different ways to keep going, and trying to, you know, I tried so many different things, like so many strategies, so many themes, and so many things gave me hope. But there was no point where I thought, I'm going to just take this and die now or whatever. So I kept going, and I think you have to, right? Like, what else can you do? Like, you can't, you know, it was either that or give up and die or just, you know. So, but it was so hard, like, apart from all the physical things and figuring out how to sit again and be able to use my arms and trying to find ways to function with my new body and to get off the ventilator, to be able to eat again, to all those things, it took a long time. And then there was all this destruction around me. Like, my family fell apart, and it was just me and my mom. We had to sell the house. There was so much anger, and there was so much disappointment in people. There was so much conflict. It's a really interesting thing when trauma happens to people, families. They either tend to become stronger or they tend to fall apart, and friendship groups, they either become stronger and they tend to fall apart. So a lot of my family, a lot of my relationships fell apart, and there was a lot of conflict and struggle, and there was a lot of stuff. And it's hard for people other than me, either. Like, it was hard for people outside of me. It was hard for my mom. It was hard for everyone else. And I think they all see things differently. And for some of them, I remember having this conversation with someone who I was really close to, and they were really angry at me a couple of years later, and they said, "You don't understand how hard that was for me." And yeah, which made me think, like, yeah, it was really hard for me too.
Funny that.
Yeah. So it was challenging in so many different ways. We had no money. We had a lot of debt that became accumulated. There were some days where my mom and I didn't know where we were going to live the next day. We had nothing. You know, like, it's our life today is a far cry from what it was at its lowest. We were alone, cold, penniless, hungry sometimes.
All this was at the same time as the accident.
Yeah, it was in the subsequent months to years we went through this.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm really lucky because, again, going back to my mum, she's just one of those people that, you know, I think our formative years are really important because we get taught all these different things and we are influenced by the people around us, our parents, for a start, and whoever else. And there are so many people that I think sometimes they place limitations on kids, like, this can't be done, or you'll never be this, or you can't be that, or, you know, only X kind of person will make this, or don't think you can become a sports star, or whatever, who knows. But my mom was never like that. You know, I was like, "Mom, I want to learn to play guitar." All right, she took me to guitar lessons and bought me a guitar.
Yeah.
I learned to play basketball, so she drove me late in the night to basketball games. I want to try this, and she helped me register my first business when I was a teenager. All this stuff. So my mom was always like a can-do person, and she instilled the attitude. So when we were going through the accident in the subsequent years as well, it was always, "Nah, it's fine. We'll get it done. We'll do this. We'll make it happen. We'll be fine." So she has this strength and fire in her that was always like that. And I was lucky to have that with me.
Yeah. Do you think that she contributed to the success of your recovery or the mindset and everything for sure?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Even now when I'm thinking about certain decisions or doing things, even now it's like, yeah, just go for it. What do you think about? Like, she's just, yeah, she's a fire breather, that one.
Yes, I saw her win her award, actually. When was that? The end of last year, I think it was, wasn't it? On the coast.
Yeah, yes, that's where we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty special. She's a special woman. I can totally relate to, though. I'm so blessed to speak to my mum on the phone every day. She's like, "Go chase those dreams, even if they're crazy." You know, like, I feel you when you share all this. Like, we are so blessed to have that because I know not everybody has that. So it's very special. And so I guess my question is as well for you around this is, what happens, like, what's your thoughts on people that have this whole experience somewhat similar to what you went through, but they don't have that positive mindset? They have this victim, "This happened to me. Why did this happen? I didn't deserve this." What do you think that is about? Like, why do people stay in that space, and how, you know, why is it something that just happens to you and you chose this direction, or you just happened to go that way, or God, you know, helped you in that direction?
There are a few thoughts around that. One is, I don't want to give away the power that I have over the way I can control, like, over how I view things in life.
Mm.
And I think I try to not make a value judgment on it. You know, one of the things is, you can say that, say you have a car accident, and you can say, "I had a car accident and it was bad. I had a car accident and it was hard. It's a car accident and it ruined my day. I had a car accident and I feel terrible," whatever. instead, I just try to think, I had a car accident, and that is what it is. And then I think, okay, like hardship, how do I make opportunity out of it? How do I get better out of this? How do I see things differently? How do I come out of this stronger than before? I think that's really important. One of the books I read was The Count of Monte Cristo, which is, yeah, so it's a couple hundred years old, I think, and it's a story, it's a classic about a guy who's a young man and he had the whole world in front of him. So he had a beautiful fiancée, had a promising job, and he was doing well in life. And then all the people around him decided to frame him, and he ended up in jail and he lost everything. So he's on this island jail, locked away. There was no escape, and he was a prisoner, and he watched his fiancée move on and everything. So it was a horrible, horrible thing. But he manages to escape from this prison, and inside the prison, he met a priest who also told him that there was a buried treasure somewhere. So he escapes from the prison, finds the buried treasure, and he becomes this amazing, rich, powerful guy, and he reinvents himself, and no one knows it's him, but he comes back. Later, he happens to take revenge on everyone, which is not the best part of the story. But I think that idea of reinvention through hardship and coming back, that really struck a chord with me when I think about that story. And I thought, I can come back from this better, and I can come back from this stronger, and I will come back from this bigger than ever, and I'll go on to do more. So I made a promise to myself to do that.
I love that.
But, you know, and I guess it's easy for me to say, but things happen to us, and I see people that have gone through things like horrible things like sexual assaults and terrible, terrible things, terrible diseases or terrible accident or terrible trauma, terrible thing. And I know it's all relative and it's all different for people, so it's easy for me to say, you know, but this is how I dealt with my accident. And there's this principle which I read in a book. It was called "Either Ego is the Enemy or Obstacle is the Way." Yeah. And it's a book by both of the books by Ryan Holiday. And in that, he talks about alive time and dead time. So he says that when we are in certain situations, we can write that time off as dead time. So the pandemic, right? We were all locked away for a period of time. And we could have thought, okay, damn. This I'm going to write this time off. It's dead time. I can't do anything with this because I'm in this situation. Or we could use that as a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to read all those things that I promised myself I'd be. I'm going to hang out with my family and reconnect. I'm going to go for runs and exercise and get fit. So the way we use time, you know, you can always write time off. We can use time to become better or make it a lifetime. So I really like that concept as well. So there was months and months and months or weeks and weeks and weeks where I was laying in bed and just staring at the ceiling after the accident, like a lot of time. But I decided that that time I would use to become better. So I read all these books and I thought about what kind of person I want to be, who I will be when I reinvent myself, what I will do. And I even wrote some things down that I still read about the kind of person that I want to be. So, yeah. And I use that to, become who I am today.
I love that. That's so wonderful. And do you feel like you're almost better than you were before the accident, would you say?
I am a better person today, no doubt.
Yeah.
I feel stronger. I feel more capable. I feel more alive, more positive. Yeah. So, you know, when it initially happened, like, you know, even the first few weeks to months or maybe even the first couple of years, I would have done anything to turn back time and not have the accident. But now I think, no, if I went back, I'd do it all over again.
Yes. How long has it been now?
It's been on the 31st of January. So it's the 12th now. So we got, what, just a couple of weeks. It'll be 12 years.
Wow. That has probably flown by too.
Yeah. I can't believe how much time has gone by. It's crazy.
Crazy. So what does life look like now? I know you're a doctor. Is that correct? In Gold Coast Hospital?
Yeah, I work in the emergency department at the Gold Coast Hospital. Life is amazing. You know, I love life. Mm-hmm. I love life. And I love the job that I get to do. And even though it's in the middle of a pandemic, actually, I was talking to a couple of colleagues at work the other day, and there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of pressure, which is understandable at this time, right? Like it's a difficult time. But still, like even amongst this, I still feel very happy that I'm able to make a contribution and to do stuff for our community and to be there. So I love it, and I'm grateful for life. And apart from being a doctor, I do work around disability advocacy with the Disability Royal Commission and a few other organizations. And before I came to chat with you today, I was at our spinal cord injury research lab, where we are researching a therapy to restore function in paralysis. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so the big dream is to hopefully just stand up again and to give people that ability to do that. So that's what we're working towards. Got to dream big. You told me that your mom tells you to go and pursue those crazy dreams. Dreams have to be crazy. If they're not crazy, if they don't stir your blood, then I don't know, probably going to dream a bit differently. But
yes. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you've been able to become a doctor and work in a hospital and help people. I can imagine that wasn't an easy journey to get to that point and going back to medical school, because you were studying when the accident happened, weren't you?
Yeah, I was halfway through medical school when the accident happened. Even today, even though it's become far less, there's the occasional person that says, how can you be a doctor? But I work in the busiest emergency department in Australia, and it's my sixth year as a doctor. So, you know, I love doing the job, and it can be done. You just got to think differently and you got to approach it differently. And I try to do it as well as, I try to be excellent, which is a journey. But a lot of people said that there's no way he can become a doctor now. There's a lot of people who said it's not possible, that there are these barriers. And every now and again now I still come across that. Back then it was a lot. Now it's very little. But I think we are so rigid in the way we think sometimes. This has to be done this way. And when you actually dig into that with someone, you're like, why? I'm like, well, it's the way it's always been done. And I can't, like, we're so rigid in our thinking sometimes. So I think we've got to think a bit differently as well. But it was not an easy journey. And there were a lot of people that said no. There were a lot of people that said it's a ridiculous idea. There were a lot of people that said a bunch of stuff. But here we are.
Yes, and I can imagine if someone is in the hospital that you are quite inspiring for someone in there. I'm sure you hear that stuff too.
I hope that I can make a difference to my patients. And outside of the technical things of medicine that we do, my most special memories of being a doctor in the short 6 years I have been one is not the medical technical things, but it's the human connections. It's those little conversations. It's, you know, it's helping someone out who becomes sick in the community. It's having a chat to someone who is going through a hard time, bringing someone a coffee or just the simple stuff, warm blanket. And it's those things that make a big difference. And I think we fail to realize how special those simple acts of kindness are, because they're not simple at all. They're the big ones.
Yeah, they matter the most, the little things, I really believe.
Yeah, and with medicine too, they say that you cannot be a physician for the body if you're not a physician for the soul.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice, I guess, would you have someone give to someone that is going through hardship or a challenge right now? Because, I mean, the world we're living in is definitely challenging for people at the moment. People are losing jobs, they're, you know, losing people to COVID and things like that. Do you have any advice for people if they are, like, struggling or in a painful place?
It's easy for all of us to say, this is how you should approach life, this is what you should do, because we sometimes will never understand what kind of hardship each other is going through. What I can tell you is that you got to have hope, and I have been through some hard stuff and I kept going and I found light at the end of it. So please just keep trying, keep hope, and keep going, even though when it's the hardest time. Life is about ups and downs. And there's a Buddhist philosophy that says, well, actually, it's probably one of the fundamental tenets of Buddhism, where it says everything in life is impermanent. Everything is impermanent. And one of the things you got to remember is that when we're having a high in life, just enjoy that moment. Enjoy it. Soak it in. Be there in that minute, because that minute passes. But then when we're having a low, know that that's also impermanent. Around the corner, there will be another high. So everything is impermanent, and this too will pass. Surround yourself with people that love you, because that human connection with the people that truly care about you, that truly love you, that's what's important. And at the end of the day, out of all the people that are around you, the ones that matter the most are the ones that fight for you, that will sacrifice things for you, that will be there for you when the time gets tough, that will be there for you when it's hard. So surround yourself with people. Let them love you, but also love them back and fight for them. And find a reason and purpose in the hardship that you go through. Because everything has a reason, and we're thrust into certain situations to give us purpose and to find out why. For me, I never expected to have a spinal cord injury, but this has opened my eyes to the way and the struggles that people have when they're living with a spinal cord injury or using a wheelchair or have disabilities in our world. And it's given me the chance to be a voice for that. So there's often a purpose. And be undefeated. Don't let people defeat you. Don't let anyone tell you that your life will be a certain way. Don't let anyone tell you that you should live your life a certain way. Don't let the world make you live a life that you don't want to live. You just need to, you need to take control. One of my, old girlfriends, albeit a brief friendship. When I had the accident, she did something really beautiful for me, and she printed out the poem Invictus and hung it up on the curtain by my bedside. So every day when I went to sleep and every morning when I woke up, I saw this poem hanging by my bedside. And if you haven't read this poem, Invictus means undefeated or invincible. And the poem is about a man who went through some incredible hardship, where he was experiencing amputations of his limb and was critically ill. But he says in the poem that no matter how hard things get and no matter how bloody his head becomes from the blows of fate, he will not bow down, and that he is the master of his fate and the captain of his soul.
Powerful.
Powerful. And so remember that we are the masters of our fate and the captains of our soul, and we are invincible.
That is amazing advice.
Humans can never be broken.
Yeah. Yeah, and you are definitely proof to that. And I think it's so incredible to hear your story and share that with my audience, and just share your take and your lightness on it, because you can feel the positivity and the light energy that you do bring. It's genuine, it's authentic, it is a really beautiful thing. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I was just like, this guy is amazing. it's really, really cool. So I want to, I am thinking about your time and really value it. So we will finish up here, but I want to ask you, what are you reading at the moment? Because I know you're going to be a guy that loves to read, and I love to read, and I love sharing what I'm listening to or what I'm reading. So is there something in your ears at the moment or on your bedside table?
Well, actually, I'm going to flip that script and tell you that I am writing at the moment.
Oh, stop it.
So just this morning I got the copy edit back from the publisher, which is one of the last couple of edits as far as I know. So I'm writing.
I love that.
Yeah.
So when is it coming out? When can we all get our hands on a copy?
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be out this year. That's what we're aiming for.
Amazing.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, that's cool. So do you have a favorite book for anyone that is listening that wants a new read?
Yeah, there's a bunch of cool books that I like. The two books I mentioned by Ryan Holiday is really cool. Obstacle is the Way and Ego is the Enemy. And those two books are actually fun. They draw from the Stoic philosophy. Some of the stuff in Stoicism is really good. And there's another book called The Little Book of Stoicism, which is really cool. And I think what I learned is that we misunderstand Stoicism, because you think it's about being tough and all this, but it's not actually. It's a philosophy about, pretty much exactly what we talked about just now. Mm. So those books are really cool. Medically, I read this book called Better by a surgeon called Atul Gawande, and it was a really good reminder for me to try and be better, because he talks about how we've become better as doctors over time. But it makes me think about how, our lives as well, it's about constantly thinking about how we can improve ourselves and how we can be better as people and in the way we do things. Mm. So Better was a good book as well. But reading is cool, isn't it?
Mm.
Where you feed your brain.
Yes, and I just love how books look on the shelf.
Yeah, I've actually been going to. So I got this idea, right? I'm going to do two things when the book comes out. I'm going to go to a bookshop and sit by the shelf where my book sits. And I'm going to like talk to people and go, hey, you're going to buy this book.
I love it.
And then I'm going to turn up at a bookshop with the book, and I'm like, what's your returns policy? Because this is the worst book I've ever read. Like, who is this guy? Like, what's the deal?
We need footage of this. So good. Is there anything else that you'd love to leave us with? I know we've covered so much great amazingness today with you, but is there anything we didn't share or you'd love to share as we close?
Yeah, I think the thing I would love to reiterate is just to be, gratitude is so important. Being thankful for what we have is so important. And again, there are 7-something billion people on this planet. And statistically, you are not going to be the worst person, like the person that's going to be having the worst day on this planet right now, right? You or me or anyone. statistically, we're not going to be that person. So there is always someone who's going to be having a worse day than us. And even that is some reassurance that the universe is good to us and the world is still a good place and that we are lucky to be breathing and talking and to be living and to be experiencing this beautiful thing that is life.
Yes. With your gratitude practice, do you just, is it something you just think about? Do you visualize? Do you journal? Like, is there some, have you got some little ritual around it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think about it in the morning when I first wake up, but like, you know, a lot of the guys that I hang out with, you know, I was driving with a friend today and was like, man, how good is life? How good is this music? How good is the weather? So it's just like appreciating simple stuff. Yeah, and even like, you know, when you taste food, like you can be like, oh my God, so thankful to be having this.
Yeah.
Damn good, whatever. Ice cream, hopefully.
Ice cream and cookies and all the things.
Yeah. But it's a part of everyday life, right? Like, yeah, I think.
It's the small things. It's just those everyday moments of appreciation rather than making it a big sort of practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Powerful. So are you open to people connecting with you online? And if so, how is the best way for people to say hi?
Totally. I think one of the most important things in our world is for us to be able to connect to each other and have some meaningful conversations. And that's one of the ways there were a lot of people that listened to me. There were a lot of people that got back to me when I was trying to come back from the injury. So I do the same for others, whoever reach out to me. If you just want to have a chat, if you want to vent, if you want to talk, look me up. I just got Instagram last year. I was like, I had no social media for the longest time. So I'm on Instagram. I've got LinkedIn. I'm still like writhing away from Facebook and all that. But yeah.
Nice. I will leave your Instagram handle in the show notes for people to click through and find you and say hello. But again, I am just so grateful. There's my gratitude for the day for having you on the show and, you know, the appreciation I have for you taking the time to talk to my audience and share your story and all of your amazing wisdom. I just feel really honored. So thank you so much.
Beck, it's been a blast chatting to you and thanks for what you do. It's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, if that didn't inspire you, I'm not too sure what will. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. Again, it was such a pleasure to have Dinesh on and share his insight, his perspective on life, his happiness, his gratitude, and all of the things. Sometimes we just need a perspective shift, and I really believe that this episode can give that to you. So I hope that that's what you gain. Please share this on Instagram, tag me, I will reshare. Don't forget to send me a DM if you love the episode. I'm always open to hearing what you guys think. Until next week, have a beautiful day.